PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Welcome to bonus episode time of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo. Yeah, yeah. Chilling with Drewster Cogburn.
What up, me?
No, I actually have another...
I have an air horn thing on here.
Fun.
I have one.
Joy.
You know where it is?
Just what I've...
It's in a whole other...
Always wanted to hear.
Whole other button bank. That's got a different applause and... Put in this... Oh, yeah.
What? It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
It's just a sad moment. It's more than a moment.
Guys, bonus episode time. We're doing spillover bonus episode. Spillover news. We're talking about movie news and a whole bunch of other stuff that's tied tangentially to the entertainment industry. But Drewster Cogburn, today is the last day of voting for the Orlando Best of Reader Poll Weekly Awards, and you know how I feel about that.
Well, here's the thing, Chris.
What's the thing?
I don't read the weekly, so I don't vote in the poll.
Hey, I think most people who vote in the poll ain't reading the weekly, I'll tell you that. I bet you their numbers spike for some reason in the months of July and August. And
yeah,
then,
I don't.
Then it goes away afterwards.
I don't care.
I'm just happy that it's finally, the voting is finally over tonight, because like, no more with these goddamn posts of please vote for me, vote for us, do this, do that. God, you're all so thirsty. Stop it.
There's a drought out there, bro.
Is there? Is there a drought or are there too much fish in the water? Sucking up all the oxygen out of the water.
I mean, yeah, that's probably what it is. God. Too many fish in the pond.
They're so thirsty. It's like, guys, it doesn't matter. Stop it.
Goddamn thirsty ass bitches.
And if you're listening, you think, is he talking about me? Yes.
Yes. Yes, we are.
So thank God the voting is over and we don't have to put up with this for another year. Or until the award, the thing comes out, the results in a month or whatever.
Or when some other silly asshole decides to come up with some other stupid award that everybody goes crazy about.
So I'd like to announce at the PFTmedia.com, you can vote for the 2017 Best of...
Okay. I was about to say, you want to be those silly assholes?
If you can't beat them.
Join them, yeah.
So there we go. No more ranting about Orlando Weekly.
For now.
Movie news. We're talking about all the stuff that we missed. For example, did you know that Shaft is getting made again? Another reboot. This will be the third version of a Shaft movie after Samuel Jackson version back in, what was that, 2001?
You know, seriously.
And then the originals, obviously.
As much as I'd like to say that Samuel L. Jackson's Shaft was a good movie, it was not.
No, it was unfortunately not.
It wasn't. Everything's there. Samuel L. Jackson, Shaft, should be a fucking no-brainer.
Jeffrey Wright as a bad guy, his name was Peoples. He was like, I protect my peoples. And it's like, man, this sucks.
Real bad.
It was not a good movie.
I'd rather watch Black Dynamite over.
1,000 times over. 1,000 times over.
That's the real. I threw that shit before I came in the room.
That's the real Shaft reboot right there. That's like Shaft met Dolomite, and he had an awesome baby.
Dynamite!
Where's this guy? I'm gonna get the name right. Oh yeah, that's the right story. The new Shaft will be directed by friend of the show Carl Verna, Tim Story.
Oh nice,
the guy who did the Fantastic Four movies. Which after the more recent Fantastic Four movie, it's like, you know what?
You know, yeah, not so bad. I mean,
It's got its own things, but man.
Can I get the cool?
You got other things, right?
No, yeah, exactly.
Apparently.
Yeah.
In hindsight. Yeah.
They got the first half of the movie right.
Got a couple things right.
I liked the weirdness. The adoption stuff was cool. the whole bending of reality and all that weird, going to a different dimension. I mean, all of that was so cool until they got to the dimension and saw Dr. Doom, and then it got really fucking lame.
Tim Story also launched a ride-along series. He did the first one, not the second one. Obviously, not doing a third one either, because he's making a Shaft movie as opposed to Ride-Along 3.
With?
Shaft is going to be played by...
Jackie Chan.
I don't think they have a Shaft yet. I don't think they have a Shaft yet. They only have Tim Story working on it. But... I do have this information. It's going to be just like Ride Along, action comedy, or comedy action. Yeah. They actually don't know which one they're going to emphasize more at this time.
Okay.
And it's going to be Shaft and his son investigating stuff. So another two-hander, again, like Ride Along. So just take kind of a Ride Along template and slap Shaft on it.
So...
Ice Cube a Shaft?
The last Die Hard movie.
Die Hard in Russia?
Yeah, father, son.
Yeah, Jai Courtney. Oh boy, that was bad. So we're getting another Shaft by a friend of the show, Tim Story. So
Man. You know, I hope it does well, but I've got a feeling.
This movie's going to be terrible.
Yeah, yep, pretty much.
I can't remember the rest of the melody. I heard that song so often too, for like that, what was that, 2007 to 2009? It was on every commercial and every movie. And now I'm struggling to
It happens. It's okay.
Memory slipping, bro. Apparently is this gonna be a new thing now? New segment to the show? Sean Weiss update.
Okay.
Sean Weiss, best known for playing Goldberg, the goalie for the Mighty Ducks, and then also he was in Heavyweights, uh-huh. Two the greatest life accomplishments, yes. Pretty much. We reported recently on this show that he was, remember, arrested for petty theft,
yes.
At an electronics store. Do you remember the dollar amount of the merchandise that he sold?
I forgot.
$151.
Yeah, it's like one thing.
Like, what did he take? Yeah, he must have taken one thing.
It was one thing.
$151 worth of merchandise from an electronics store. He was sentenced to 150 days in jail. Right? That was the original story. Yeah, since only served 12 days and got let out. Like, 12 days is good enough. Okay. 10% of your sentence. A little more than 10%. Old Sean Weiss has been picked up again.
Already. For?
You want to take a guess on this one?
Shoplifting.
No. That would... See? I like where you're going with that one. That would indicate a Winona Ryder level of kleptomania.
Okay.
What would lead a person to lift $151 worth of merchandise from an electronics store?
Possession.
Yes, possession of... We're getting there. Remember how he was fat and now he looks weirdly skinny?
Ooh, so is it cocaine or methamphetamine?
Ooh, pick one. All right, let me tell you some deets.
Can I see a picture?
You want to see another picture?
I want to see a picture.
Here's a picture from 2015. He's only 37 in that picture. 37 or 36 years old.
I mean, do we have his mugshot? I'll tell you what he's on.
No mugshot, unfortunately. Oh, yeah, mugshot. There you go. Here's his mugshot.
Oh.
I just showed a picture of him as Goldberg strapped to a $20,000 bond for a drug possession charge in Los Angeles.
Cocaine.
Meth.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, poor guy.
Sean Weiss Smith. So, he's in jail again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's not getting out 12 days.
News. So,
our prayers and thoughts are with his... No, that's not true.
No, they're not.
That's not true.
No.
We are moving on to the next story. Harrison Ford. Ridley Scott. Blade Runner.
Mm-hmm.
To this day, according to Blade Runner 2049 director Denis Villeneuve... To this day, still getting heated arguments about whether or not Deckard is a person, a real person, or a replicant.
You see, that's the way it's supposed to be. They made it so open-ended that the director thinks one thing, and the guy who played him thinks something completely different.
Which is crazy. And they even made, so another, amazing. They even made another movie.
And yeah, and they're still both like, fuck you, he's a replicant. I was not. He's a replicant. I was not.
So here's Denis Villeneuve. He says, awesome. I was raised with the first movie, and then later on I discovered what was the original dream of Ridley, so I really loved his version. The key to making this new movie was to be in between, because the first movie was a story of a human being falling in love with a designed human being, an artificial being, and the story of the second movie is a replicant that doesn't know he's a replicant who slowly discovers his own identity. So those are two different stories. I thought that the key to deal with that was in the novel Philip K. Dick, which was that in the novel, the characters are doubting themselves. They're not sure if they are replicants or not. From time to time, the detectives are having to go and perform tests on themselves to make sure that they are really humans. I love that. So I decided that the movie, Deckard is unsure, as we are, of what his identity is. So that's the approach to Blade Runner 2049.
I like it. Keep it ambiguous!
I've never read the original. That sounds interesting that the detectives do perform the test on themselves to see it.
Just to make sure. Like, every so often.
As opposed to in the Blade Runner movie, the Sean Young, her character, asks, like, have you ever taken that test of yours? Mm-hmm. And then he just like, oh, just so happens to have fallen asleep in that moment. What a...
Exactly.
What a narrative.
I mean, it's very, it's very Inception-y.
Yes.
You know, you've got to do that. Holy shit, am I in fucking reality or not?
Grab your talisman, do your thing. Are you in reality or not? That's exactly correct. Let's see, gotta word these stories correctly because some of them play into each other. First off, double James Cameron Avatar story. Josh Brolin apparently turned down a role for the Avatar sequels.
Yeah, because he's doing better stuff.
Much to the chagrin of James Cameron. Apparently not many people turned down James Cameron.
Yeah, well, like I said, Josh Brolin's doing better stuff.
And Josh Brolin in the Esquire interview, I think it was Esquire or GQ, he's admitted that their friendship got a little strained. But even to this day, if Cameron told him or came up to him and said, like, why'd you say things you did or whatever, he'd be like, because that's just the way it happened, man. Yeah, he's doing Cable now. I think he seems to be much happier doing that. And Thanos is about to...
He's about to
make a big impression.
He's got that Marvel stuff going. That stuff will last him... He will be getting residuals on that shit for the rest of his life.
Well, it depends if he has a good enough agent on some of that stuff. Yeah. Deadpool, he may just be getting straight check. Reynolds is getting them residuals.
Yeah.
Brolin's getting a straight check. Thanos? Check. Maybe. I don't know. Also, James Cameron confirming the main villain of all the Avatar movies. It's the same person for Avatar 2, 3, and 4. And it is the same person who was the villain in the first movie. Stephen Lang's character. The guy with the scar on his face who
Stephen
got
Lang.
Speared yep. twice in the end. And then his thing fell over. And then like something fell on top of him. And alive. Everyone assumed that he's dead. Well, he's the bad guy for all the sequels. So apparently, yes, he's still alive.
So he's still being kept alive by the suit now.
Maybe. Like,
now he is Mech Man.
I'm fine with that.
Because, last time I remember, he was fucking dead.
He was fucking dead. I barely remember that movie, but I remember he fucking died.
Like, way dead.
Nope, he's coming back. And of all the news of Avatar and stuff, that is like the one thing I can hang my hat on.
That's awesome. I love Stephen Lang.
I think he's great. He's my favorite part of that original movie, besides all the technical stuff, because he was so, just such a menacing dude.
You know, there's an alternate universe, Chris, mm-hmm. where Josh Brolin stayed in Avatar, and Stephen Lang was Cable.
Yeah, that is an alternate universe.
That's the alternate universe.
That is,
damn it! Damn it!
Stephen Lang would have been a great Cable as well. That's the thing. Josh Brolin had to get Cable. In Cable shape.
Yeah.
Stephen Lang was already
is Cable.
He was already
Stephen Lang is Cable.
He's like, I'm here. Give me the cybernetic guy. I'm in.
Yeah, exactly. I'll do it. Give me the cybernetic guy. I don't even need to change my hair color.
I don't even need to change. Come on, guys. I believe those two stories last because those are my favorites. Wonder Woman set a record for the DCEU. That record being highest grossing domestic box office. Mm-hmm. Only film of all of them, including all the Batman movies, and this even includes Nolan movies.
Really?
Yes, this even includes that. None of those movies crossed this barrier. Wonder Woman in America, North America, has made $400 million at the box office.
That's awesome.
$400 million is a crazy number. It's a new benchmark for like Uber success, and it's only the 26th movie ever to cross that. It is trailing behind Batman vs. Superman internationally, but not by that much. So it's at like
the only reason you have Batman and
Superman.
Plus
Wonder Woman and Aquaman and
exactly.
Flash cameos and stuff. Yeah, absolutely. There's way more star power. Wonder Woman, it's her first movie. It's literally the first time that character's been in a her own movie.
She's the best part of the whole fucking movie.
She's the best part. She's the best part of both movies.
Go figure.
Really? So I live in a world where my favorite movies have... My favorite, like, of the now superhero movies have the chance of being Wonder Woman and Thor?
Isn't that weird?
What?
Not books you read at all growing up.
No, not books that I care about even now. Never had any interest in the characters. Not really.
That's so funny.
Yeah, that Thor.
But they're like, yeah!
That looks so good.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I can't wait for this. According to Lionsgate, they're going to try to work on it in either TV or movie form more Twilight movies and Hunger Games movies. Yes. Interesting. Lionsgate's like, we've got nothing. We need help. Both of our series have washed up, and
I thought it was over.
You thought it was over? Guess what, Drew? A pair of adventurings of Bella and Edward.
Shouldn't they wait
and their little baby
for the 2000s to come back around as nostalgia or something?
One of the early 2000s. That nostalgia won't kick in until like mid-2020s.
Like I said, it's like another decade.
Lionsgate can't wait that long. Trump's got his finger on the button. They gotta crank this stuff out now and make their monies and then spend it. Before it's all done. Before it's all over. They do the Harlem Shake. Alright, the Harlem Shake staring contest only works for us in the room. There's no one else who appreciated the humor of that moment as fully as we did here, so... I'm sorry for everyone.
Yeah, because in my head, I bet you they're thinking, like, we're doing the Harlem Shake.
Yeah.
And in reality, it's just you and me staring at each other in complete silence.
Like, dead-eye staring, trying actively not to blink. I do wonder what people thought in their minds when that... I wonder if they had a picture of us, like...
They did.
Theater of the mind, man. It's fun. I enjoy it. Okay, well, let's get down from the table, and let's get back into what we're actually doing here. So, Hunger Games. Sorry, yeah, that's happening, Drew. I'm sorry. Big news happening this week with Netflix in a number of directions. Pew, 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 pew. First off, it's the bad news for Netflix. Disney is like, we outcha.
Peace!
Shout out to Forget That Yo Radio. We outcha. We done with this. They purchased a controlling share of, I think it's called BAMTech. And that is a streaming service that is used right now primarily for Major League Baseball. They already had a share in it.
No.
They bought another huge chunk to get a majority interest.
No.
They're going to put all their shit on that service, as well as launching a ESPN streaming service.
Nice. So there you go.
Catering to the cord cutters with the ESPN there.
Uh-huh.
First off, cable companies quickening their boots. They're shitting themselves. Expect your rates to start going up to compensate because the market's weird. Movies that are on Netflix now that are Disney movies, man, they just signed that deal. It just kicked in 2016.
I know.
By 2018, it's over.
Yeah. Say goodbye to your Marvel stuff, all your Disney animated stuff, all the kids' nonsense from the Disney Channel.
Expect Frozen 2 to be the movie to debut the new Disney streaming service. And yes, all that shit's going to be gone. The Marvel stuff will be gone. The Marvel Netflix-produced stuff obviously staying.
Yeah,
because Netflix is producing.
Because of the deal.
Whatever deals are in place currently are staying that way, which means... the older Disney stuff is still going to be available for a while on Hulu, I think, and not Amazon. I think they have a Hulu deal going on. So they have a couple of licensing deals out there already, and it's going to take even longer than 2 or 3 years for all that stuff to consolidate anyway. But yeah, big blow to Netflix. Their stock dipped 4% overnight based on that news coming out. But they had some good news to counter some of that stuff, and it's not as big as Disney leaving, but it's little things that all add up, so this is still pretty cool. I'm not dropping Netflix anytime soon. Miller World. You hear about that?
No.
Mark Miller. Wanted. Mm-hmm. Kingsman. Mm-hmm. And what's the other one? Kick-Ass?
Yes.
The guy, he has got his own comic line doing all this stuff. This company started, I think, over 20 years ago. Signed a deal with Netflix. Netflix pretty much bought him.
Oh, there we go.
Netflix bought it much the way Disney bought Marvel. Warner bought DC. Netflix bought Miller World, and it's kind of apropos for the scale and you know, the labeling type of thing. Back to licensing. Wanted, I think Wanted is part of the deal. Kick-Ass and Kingsman, not part of the deal. Those are got their own Hollywood things going, so there's no Netflix series or movies or anything. Yeah. But everything else that Mark Miller created over the years is expected to be coming out on Netflix.
Cool.
A fan of any of that stuff? Have you read any of it? I mean, you're a comic book guy. Forever,
you know,
guy?
Not really. Mark Miller stuff upstairs. A lot of that stuff was very indie, even...
Yeah.
Even for comic books, you know? I mean, as deep into the indie stuff I got was, you know, some Image and Vertigo stuff, you know? But even still, that was mainstream independent stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I never got into this smaller stuff.
Interesting. All right, well, expect to see a bunch of...
Because all that stuff started up when I was, when I was in my hiatus from the comic book
world. Oh, really? Yeah. All right, true. Yeah, that happens.
I mean,
I have a black hole of knowledge when it comes to baseball.
Yeah.
Like 4 or 5 years, I just...
Oh, no, for me, it was
checked
like,
out.
It was at 15.
Oh, yeah?
There you go.
Maybe.
That's when I started up and developed. Yeah, sure. So Netflix lost Disney, but they acquired Miller World, and on top of that, they signed a deal for an anthology series to be produced and, I believe, directed by the Coen brothers.
Oh, nice.
Which is... For me, pretty much the greatest thing ever. And that's coming off of the heels of their announcement about the year about David Letterman doing a series for them, which is crazy. His series is like he'll interview someone, and then he'll like go and do a lot of stuff like out and about, kind of like Anthony Bourdain, I guess, Andrew Zimmerman or whatever. You know, just like meeting people in their places.
Yeah, I saw the story, and the pull quote from David Letterman was, "If you're going to retire to spend time with your family, make sure you check with them first."
Yeah. God, I miss Letterman. He's always been my favorite.
Really?
Yeah, I've loved him. Him and then Conan. When Conan came on right after him, so it was a great 1-2 punch.
For me, it was
absurdest
comedy. Conan Letterman.
Conan Letterman?
Yeah,
Conan Letterman.
Conan was always first for me.
Right on.
Fuck Jay Leno. His chin's too big.
Coen brothers. I mean, on a Netflix show.
Yeah.
The only one who's worse is Jimmy Fallon.
Oh God! can we set the Fallon effigy on fire now, or do we still have to wait for?
I really wish we could. It's so weird. And
I just
he's got
burn him. Burn the effigy.
What's his weird tie to Florida? What is it?
What do you mean?
Like he's got the thing at Universal down here. He's got. When he was on Saturday Night Live, I didn't know, like, he was hosting something. I forget what he was hosting, but he had, like, a 10-second commercial for it, and it was him and a costume, and he just said, Sarasota, Florida, and that was the end of it.
That's weird.
It was one of the weirdest things I'd ever seen in my life, and I saw it more than once, so I know it wasn't a hallucination.
I don't know how to explain that. I mean, he's working with a lot of stuff at Universal Studios because... It's an NBC Universal product, you know, and Universal Orlando is way more accommodating for something like that, a big event like that, than the Universal they have in LA. Plus, the first time he came a couple years ago, that coincided with the opening of Diagon Alley, I think. I think that was right around the same time. And so I don't know if he has, I don't know what's up with Sarasota, Florida, or if he has some more direct connection. But fuck him, man. He's a bootlicker. Back to the Coen brothers. They're doing a series called The Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Of course they are.
It will premiere in 2018. Buster Scruggs will be played by Tim Blake Nelson, a fantastic actor. Worked with them frequently, including in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? It'll be... it's about the American West, and it's six episodes. So six tales of the American frontier. Featuring good old Buster Scruggs. The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. Will be written and directed by the Coen brothers, executive produced by Megan Ellison and Sue Nagel from Annapurna Television. And said to Coens in a statement, quote, "We are streaming, motherfuckers," end quote.
Of course they did. Yep. They're like, "We got Netflix, we got Annapurna, fuck y'all."
Yes, yes. So that excites me.
We have three groups of talented people
yeah
all coming together to hopefully make something both hilarious violent and sad.
And sad, yeah, and sad. It will be, right? Yeah. They do that.
They do.
At their best, they do that.
They do.
It's pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we may have talked about this before, but for sure, the Dread sequel to Dread that came out in 2012 ain't happening.
Mm-hmm.
Just didn't make enough money, not enough interest from investors to plop down the dough to make a Dread 2 a reality.
I need to hit the fucking lottery, Chris.
You need to... Well,
if I hit the lottery, boom. Dread 2 by Druko LLC.
May not be necessary. Because while Dread 2 is finding difficulty finding that movie money... Looks like they found themselves some TV money.
Just as good. I'm totally cool with that.
So we're getting a Dread series. Carl Urban confirming he's in talks to come back as Dread. He says, quote, I am in discussions with them about that. I told them if they write the material and give Dread something to do and give him a function, I would be there. I would love to, end quote. So, I mean, come on. He's game.
Yeah.
So we might get ourselves a... actually, they even have a title for it, which I'm fine with. I like it. Judge Dredd : Mega City 1. Excuse me.
I was going to say Law and Order : Law Mega City 1.
Yeah. Law and Order Mega City 1. That's what. Judge Dredd : Mega - City 1. That's the title. Man, yes. Come on, the story's
NYPD,
Mega City 1.
Mega City 1.
Yeah, or CSI : Mega - City 1.
Yeah.
Or
Homicide Life in Mega City 1.
Life in Mega City 1. Or, what's that other one? NCIS : Mega - City 1.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Or there's a... No, that's something else. Black Mirror Mega City 1?
I'm pretty sure Mega City 1 is already in the Black Mirror universe.
There already is a Black Mirror type world. So I'm totally down with that. I'm very excited for...
That's cool. Yeah, I'm
for
down.
A Dread TV show. A Dread TV show, as well as a Dread TV show, and a Coen Brothers.
I mean, they could have... Show. I mean, it could be as simple as, one episode could be just Dread on the streets. And then they could have, they could do some story arcs where they can do different things.
Wait, did you say Dread on the streets?
But nothing like Billy on the
Streets. Oh, I don't. Where's my?
It would just be. It would just be Dread coming up, and if you answer wrong, he's the judge. So he's just blows your brain out, pretty much. Sets you on fire. Those incendiary rounds were. Oh, man.
That's Judge Dread setting people on fire.
I love that movie.
It is fantastic. It's fantastic.
So
and people should watch
it's
it.
So much fun.
People should watch it more often.
Just think. Mm-hmm. And spoiler alert.
Spoilers alert.
Just think at the end when Lena Headey gets thrown over the edge. Just imagine that to Cersei Lannister, and it'll make you feel better on the inside.
Aww. Oh, that part's so awesome.
It is. And imagine now. Imagine it's Judge Dredd throwing Cersei Lannister off the edge after giving her that.
Mama was already a bad enough character, man. Cersei too on top of that. Man, Lena Headey's good.
She is.
She is really good.
I fucking hate her. That's how I know
That's
she's good.
That's how I know good. She's good. Bummer that that dumb Sarah Connor Chronicles show.
Oh, yeah. That had promise.
If you're going to get a Sarah Connor, I think you found a good one. She's. Or Game of Thrones. If you're going to pull from Game of Thrones, too, they did a better version for the TV show than they did with the movie with Emilia Clarke. I think she's a fine actress. I like her well enough in Game of Thrones, but I did not buy her as
Sarah Connor,
as a tough bad, like Linda Hamilton style. Which Linda Hamilton, it took that character 2 movies to grow into what she was.
No.
And then we're supposed to just buy that Emilia Clarke as this like little thing is like, I'm a badass. I got you. How are you though?
No, you're not. You may be the mother of dragons, you've got nothing on fucking Sarah Connor.
Found my air horn button. And everyone's happy. I think I got my new soundboard, dude. Here we go. We're good. Oh, but I can't. Well, let me do the bam, bam. Never mind. The search is still on for a better soundboard. Well, there we go. We got streaming stuff. We got movie stuff. Disney is out, but Miller is in. But Drew really doesn't read the Miller stuff. So
that doesn't really matter.
I guess Netflix might as well just call it a day. Fold it up.
Suck a dick.
But what if they like sucking at Netflix? Then they're just like, okay. And then I go, God damn it. Then that insult doesn't work. Eat some pussy. Like, but then someone's like, I like doing that too. Like, God damn it. Eat the butt. No,
That's popular now.
Everything but is popular now.
Everything but is popular.
It's so weird.
What's up with that? What is up with that?
I
am not up with that, so...
Drew not into the butt stuff.
Nope.
All right, there we go. Definitive statement. Let it be known.
Taking a stand. Then do the Harlem Shake.
You can't laugh and then get into the staring contest. You got to jump right into the staring contest.
I closed my eyes to laugh.
Oh, shit. I got a random button. You ready? We're going to hit it one time, and then we're going to call it a show. You ready? Oh, well, I guess
that was kind of appropriate.
I guess it was apropos. Thank you, Drew Sakai. Where can people find you on interwebs?
At antihero419, all over said interwebs.
People, check out pftmedia.com. See all the latest shows. Episode 1 of Orlando Opinions is being very well received with Mark Baratelli. Episode 3 of Simon Time Trivia. I swear we'll get the sound better for that one. And there's all new tidbits. Check out the tidbits. Drew made a homemade double down, and we talked about eating it.
They're delicious.
Spoiler alert! They were delicious. We are out of here, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with episode 240 this weekend.